Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 4. That's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, you get to the New Testament, the third book in the New Testament, right before you get to John. If you don't read your Bible yet, but you have one, I suggest you start with the book of John, read the whole book of John, then go to Matthew, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John again, then go back to Matthew, and just keep repeating that until you hit stuff that you're like, oh, I remember reading this. Just keep doing it over again. How much should you read? Read the Bible till you hear God's voice. Read till you hear His voice. Don't trek off some religious thing and say, well, I read three verses today and I'm good to go. Read till you hear His voice. I want to commend you for reading your Bible. I have found that life is better when you read your Bible. I have found that life is better when you read your Bible. And read it in context. Like, read whole chapters at a time. I've never, read a book before and I just read, the third chapter and told everybody what the book means. No, you got to read the whole thing in context. You know, you don't just watch one scene of a movie and tell people what the movie means. Yeah. You have to know what happens before and after. Somehow people read the Bible and they just pick one scripture out of somewhere and they just say, here's who God is based on these nine words in this one verse. There's a whole stinking book here. And the disciples said that everything he did wouldn't even fit in all the books. And so to think that we can read one verse and know everything about him is somewhat silly. Amen? Yeah? Yeah? Hey, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but the Supreme Court made some declarations this week. Yeah? The Supreme Court is over the laws. God is over the kingdom. Their laws don't define what I do. You know? Legalized drugs, I'm still not taking them. Legalized divorce, staying married to Pastor Tracy. Right? Right? Legalized greed, still not going to live in it. So before you get too dismayed that the world is falling down around us, I don't know if you know this, but we were sent to a fallen planet. Things will be better because we're here, amen? I think it's a, all right, little social commentary, you ready? Sin is bad, yeah? People saying sin is good is still bad, yeah? Okay, so we're all in agreement with that. There is sin. Sin is bad. People saying sin is okay. Bible talks about that. Not a good idea. But I read a really interesting post in the New York Times, and it was about people who lived a certain sinful lifestyle. Now that their sinful lifestyle is now accepted and legal, it takes some of the fun out of it. What happens when your rebellion is no longer rebellion? What if you're dressing different than everybody, and then all of a sudden everybody dresses that way? Then what happens? You're like, well, I did it before everybody. Why? Because you want to be different. Now you got to find some other way to rebel. I find that funny. But that's just me. You catch that? So, whatever. Sinners can do whatever they want. We'll all get saved. That I meet. You know, that's like, I declare that in faith. I'm not declaring universalism, all right? Are we in Luke chapter 4? Just sometimes you got to say those things. We're on the web. I'm saying, they'll all be saved as a prophetic declaration. And people are like, oh, he believes in universalism. Everybody's saved. I didn't say that. You can listen to more than one message. Amen? Okay, interwebs. YouTube is filled with interesting people. If you've ever read a YouTube comment, you know what I'm talking about. It's like the dregs of society are on YouTube, right? It's like schizophrenic drug addicts are at the public library typing YouTube comments all day long, you know? Right? Am I right? I shouldn't have said that, huh? Oh, my wife's not here. Oh, she's in the back. I love you, baby. I'll take it back. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? YouTube's like the church. It's great except for the people. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You feeling good? I'm feeling good. It's summer. I'm in the air conditioning. Jesus is alive. This is good, man. I'm particularly happy because I'm going on vacation this week. And if you need me, go ahead and call the church office. I'll call you back in roughly 9 days. But if it's an emergency, leave a message. There'll be a pastor on call. Someone will help you out. If someone goes to the hospital, we'll have all that covered. I need to make one announcement before I get into my message. How many of you know Corey? All right, Corey, would you stand up, Corey, you and your lovely bride? Why don't you stand and just say hello to the people who may not know you? Excellent, you can sit. Corey, if you have not noticed, his wife is pregnant, and we believe it's the word of the Lord to keep the baby. You know, that's legal, too, and not good. Corey works for the church, and since apparently his wife wants to work less after she has a baby, and so Corey has accepted a full-time position somewhere, not another church. He's working at a business, so he's not going to be working at the church anymore. I just want to publicly say that because nothing's changing. All right, he's not leaving. He's not upset. There's no disagreement. We both prayed through it. They really felt it was the word of the Lord. I felt him running from God's call, but you know, that's, there's liberty in those things, right? And no, but seriously, I wish that he did not leave the church. Working for me is a great blessing in mine and my wife's life, you can't tell that to FPL. They want all their money. And so he makes a modest sum at the church office, and his wife won't be working. So we bless him in the name of Jesus. Just want to put that out there. There's nothing. He's not fired. I would hire him full time if we had the need and the money. If you feel so called to support that for the next couple years, just let me know after service. But anyway, he's going to be working, and we bless you in that, Corey and Sarah. We bless your transition, and we honor you in the blessing. We gave him a little gift, a little token of love, Just so you know, they're good. Is that okay? Are we all right with that?
Yeah.
Excellent. So, hey, Luke chapter 4. Let me give you a little running start to Luke chapter 4. Can we do that? So, Jesus, central character in the New Testament, yes, very important person in the Bible. Jesus, Son of God, lived as a man for 30 years. It's important to remember. Mary was a woman, except for one amazing supernatural act that happened to her, that she was impregnated by Holy Spirit, miraculously impregnated her somehow. Bible doesn't say exactly how that happened, but we know that it did. After Mary was impregnated, she became pregnant with Jesus. We know at the time she was a virgin. We have a child on the loose. We need an usher to help out. There's a child running through the sanctuary. She was pregnant, and it was to fulfill the prophecies that the Messiah would come from a virgin, and she was pregnant. Now, we know that she didn't stay a virgin because Jesus had brothers, and there was only one miraculous birth. That was Jesus. Then Mary and Joseph, of course, were married. They had other kids. So Jesus was born, but for 30 years, he lived as a man. Now, I believe he had understanding of his call. But he was waiting until the revealing. The revealing, that's important. I want you to hear that word. He was waiting for the revealing of him as the Messiah. And once that happened, the Bible says that he was baptized by John the Baptist, and came up out of the water, and the Father spoke over him. Immediately after that, he went into the wilderness and was tested by the enemy. 40 days, we know he was out there. Now, in his testing, he was victorious in every test. Amen? He was not tested with sickness. He was not tested with disease. He was not tested with poverty. He was fasting. He was driven into the place of testing by the Spirit, but he was victorious in every test. Amen? Okay, good. It's important to understand. Came out of the wilderness, and that's where we pick up our story here in Luke chapter 4. We know that he did some stuff before he got here, but here he is. He says he came to Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 16. I speak slowly because I know it's going to appear on the overhead. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read." Verse 17, "And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. as he opened the book and found the place. I feel the anointing so strong right now. I just had to say that because I thought I was about to start stuttering over the word. I had to acknowledge why. And he opened the book. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right, here we go. Oh, we love you, Jesus. And he opened the book. Isaiah, I believe it was. While he was in the temple. Can I tell you something real quick? Have you ever read Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Yeah. My son is reading it, not happily. In it, a great minister talks about how he developed a relationship with Holy Spirit. And the goal of the book is to encourage you to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to get religious here, but you can have a relationship with Jesus through his written word. Right? And so when I read the Bible, I'm like, I'm like tearing back the seal and allowing God to speak to me right now. And so when I read the book, sometimes I get kind of caught up to times that I heard his voice in the word. Thank you. And so I get caught up in times when I instantly, spiritually, in my heart, go to like, I'm ready for him to speak. And as soon as you're ready for him to speak, you just begin to enjoy his presence. Right? It's kind of like when you go out on a date night with your spouse and you're getting dressed up. You're already happy because you know, oh, I know this is going to be a great night because I'm taking my wife out, even though we're not together right now, even though I'm just grooming and whatnot, you know? So it's kind of like sometimes I read the word and the presence just comes, even though he hadn't started speaking yet. It's like just the expectation. So that's what's kind of happening to me right now. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Read the word, waiting for him to speak. If I could just tell you anything, do that. Running late. And he opened the book and found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. Sarah, why don't you come here real quick? Why don't you read verse 17, 18, and 19?
Verse 17. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Verse 19. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Sarah Pagano, everybody. Hallelujah. So here we're in a new message series. Message series is the revealing. It's the revealing. Two message series ago, we talked about the God of all hope. God wants to ignite something new in you. In our last message series, we talked about a lot of amazing stuff. And we just knew that the Paraclete, Holy Spirit, would be with you in the midst of these new and amazing things God wants to do in your life. Yeah. Now we're in the revealing because the whole earth is waiting. I want to remind you, in 2 weeks, we're starting our new streamlined service. You show up late, you might miss it. Who knows? But here I want to let you know something right here at the beginning of this message. God has a plan. God has a plan. He's not caught off guard by anything that's happening in the world right now. The Supreme Court can say what they want. The Congress can say what they want. A bunch of candidates can get up and lie about what they're going to do once they become president. God still has a plan. God has a plan. Amen? God has a plan, and none of these things are interrupting his plan. He's a very optimistic God. He's not up in heaven worrying about what's going to happen next. There's no anxiety happening in his heart at all. It's all settled. He is quite aware that he is God. There's no doubt he cannot deny himself, the Bible says. Wow, I'm getting blasted right now. God has a plan for everything. And let me tell you this, for some of you need to hear this. God has a plan. And you're part of that plan, and you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. He knew you were coming. He knows the thoughts that he has towards you. The Bible, time and again, talks about the foreknowledge of God. Now, I don't want to get into that too deeply, but I do believe that nobody is on this planet outside of God's will. Now, you may have been a surprise to your parents. You may have been a surprise to the family, you may have been a surprise to the government, but you are not a surprise to God. From the moment that you appeared inside your mother's womb, God had an amazing plan for your life. You hear me? An amazing plan for your life. An amazing plan for your life. He has thoughts to prosper you. He has thoughts for you to get ahead. He has thoughts for you to be successful. He has thoughts for you to overcome everything the enemy has planned for you. You see, God has a plan for you and the enemy has a plan for you. Hear me. God has a plan for you and the enemy has a plan for you. And the one you agree with, that's whose plan comes to life. All you have to do is just pick a side. Whose plan are you going to agree with? Now, some people hear the enemy's plan and they make it God's plan somehow. I don't know how that works. And they agree with it and all of a sudden that plan comes to life. That is not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is that you would get ahead. Why? Because he's made you above and not beneath. The head and not the tail, right? He gave us power to change our environment. We get to decide what we do with that power. I encourage you to find out what God's plan is for your life and do that. Use his power to accomplish his plan. I have found that that works best and gives us the most peace and success in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. You agree with me or no?
Yeah.
But God has a plan for you. And let me tell you this. When God created you, he created you with a purpose. He has a plan and a purpose. Do you believe me? He has a plan and a purpose. And what that means is, if God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life, and he created you knowing what that purpose is. Let's call it a different word, your purpose. Let's call it a calling. There's a calling on your life. God has a plan for you. And when God knows that plan, he speaks it to you. That's him calling you to his plan. We're good here, right? We're on the same page so far. God is calling you into his plan for your life. God is calling you. He's drawing you. He's calling to the deep things in your heart that it would come forth and get a part of his plan. You see, because the plan for your life is a little part of his big plan for the earth. You cannot separate God's plan for you from God's plan for the earth. We're all interconnected, right? We're all interconnected. When we do good, it affects all those around us. When we don't do good, it affects the people around us. Now, people try to isolate themselves and be an island unto themselves and say, you know, they maybe badmouth the church or they badmouth Christians and they try to isolate themselves. But they don't understand by doing that, they're coming against God's plan for their life. Because God's number one plan is people. People, not person, people. God is into people. And he used persons to affect people for the good. Are you with me? And so sometimes we get hurt or we get rejected and we need God to, we need to allow him to minister to our hearts, healing to our hearts, so that we can freely flow in the plan God has for us. I'm amazed at how much separation that happens in the body due to fear. I'll say it again. There's a lot of separation that happens in the church based on fear. Maybe a pastor says something wrong and people are fearful that this is going to go in a direction they don't like. Then all of a sudden they break relationship out of fear when nothing actually happened wrong. Or somebody does something and instead of going to the person in love and saying, hey, I don't understand why you did this and I'm somewhat offended, they break relationship out of fear of conflict. We need to grow and be mature enough to have differences of opinion without breaking relationship. We have to have differences of opinion without gossiping, without slander, without putting people down because of what they believe. Does this make sense? We need to be mature enough. And it normally is a need for inner healing. It's part of why we're doing the teaching series on Tuesday nights, Healed and Whole. We need to be whole enough to walk as someone who's healed. Because healed people heal people, right? Healed people heal people. But when we're not healed, we walk around broken. Then what do? Break people. We lash out based on our lack of healing. We lash out based on our hurts and insecurities. We need to get those healed so we don't feel threatened every time there's disagreement, right? And so here we are, smack dab in the middle of God's plan and trying to figure out, you know, why am I here? Why am I here? You know, you're not just here to live, pay bills, and die. So many lives, that's all we do. We live... pay bills and die. And if we have more money, then we have bills and we find new bills. And then we live to pay those bills until we die. And that's just not what we're here for. God did not send us here so we can make money to give to FPL. To give to Chase and to give to the water company. That's not what he created us for. He's not like, I have a vision for the planet and I'm going to raise big corporations and then I'm going to put people in there to send the corporations money. You know, that was not his plan for your life. That's not why he created you. I'm not against buying stuff. I'm not against having jobs. Please have a job. But we don't want to live for money. I don't want to live for stuff. I don't want to wake up in the morning because I got a bill to pay. I want to wake up in the morning because I have a purpose. Amen? I want to wake up in the morning and say, today is part of God's big plan for my life. I need to seize this day and I need everything that God has for me in this day. Part of that may be making money. Part of that might be spending money. I'm as into spending money as anybody. Don't get me wrong. I am into spending money. I am not into getting debt, though. I've met debt, fellowship with it for years, just not really into it. Not a good friend. He's a great taskmaster, not a great friend. It's a good word, Pastor. Okay, I'll have a drink on that one. But God didn't create you for that. God has a plan for you. Now, let's get another word for that. God's plan is not separated from your true identity. These aren't two different things. You want to know what God has for your life and what your calling is? Find out who God calls you. What does God call you? How does he view you? What is your identity in Christ? What is your identity in God? What is it? Why are you here? What does he call you? What's your purpose? If you don't know that, then there's no way you can know your calling. And let me give you a little secret. You can't find that outside of God. People can identify themselves in all kind of labels. And they can get the government to agree with their label. I could care less what the government labels people. Government just views you as a taxpayer. I don't know if you know that or not. That's how the government views you. You're a voter and a taxpayer. That's it. I don't care what the government calls me. I care what God calls me. And you can't find that out outside of Jesus Christ. You cannot find that out outside of the Redeemer who came into the world to redeem each person from the sin into their true value in God. You have to know who God is and why he called you to this earth. Does that make sense? You have to know your identity. So in the scripture we just looked at, I find it very interesting that there is a series of events that are laid out in Luke. If we can just study the Bible here for a second, we see that Jesus, first thing that happened to him that we see in this series of events was he was baptized by John in the water. Why? Irrelevant at this point. But he got baptized in the water by John, and when he came up out, what happened? Dove landed on him, which symbolized... It said, the Spirit descended as a dove, right? And then a voice came. What happened? The voice came, and who was the voice? Father God. And Father God said what over Jesus? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Had Jesus done any miracles yet? No, he did not earn that love. So the very first thing that happened right here with Jesus is that his identity was revealed to him and to the world. So he goes off into the wilderness, not as some lost thing, not as some guy who got hard luck, not, oh, woe is me, why am I having to go through this hard time? He went off into the wilderness as a son of the one true God. He went off in there as a son of the one true God, and he wasn't out there wondering, oh, God, why are you punishing me? What did I do? What did I do wrong? No, no, no. He already heard that he was a son in whom the Father was well pleased. Fathers and mothers, when it's part of your job to affirm your children. It's a really big part of your job to affirm them. No one can affirm them the way a parent can. You can have a spiritual father and a spiritual mom, but they'll never replace a natural father and a natural mom. It'll never happen. You need to affirm your kids. You could be as irritated gets with your kids. You still need to affirm their good points. You can't say my love is conditional based on your behavior. Like, I love you. You are amazing. You're great. You do these awesome things. This needs to change. However, you, I'm very happy with. I'm happy that you're my son. I'm happy that you're my daughter. I'm glad God brought you into my life. Right? You need to affirm them. When you have a child, watch. Now, I'm going to get a little spiritual here, but we're in church. It's okay. Well, when you have a baby, watch the first words that are spoken over your kid. What do you want the first words to be? Think about that before you have the baby. And speak those words over the baby. Does this make sense? Get a word and speak them over your baby. Just speak them right there. I'm speaking right into your spirit, man. This is who you are. You're a child of mine, and I love you, and you're well-pleasing to me. God loves you. I love you. You're going to be amazing. You're going to have a great life. Right? That should make some of you without kids just have babies, because I'm going to do that. That's me planting seeds. I want to get in on that. Yeah. See? Amen. But children get identity from their parents. Now, what's interesting is, right after this is spoken, we get a whole lineage of where Jesus came from in the natural. If you continue to read through Luke, we see that there's a, it talks about Jesus' spiritual lineage. The Father speaks over him, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Then we hear the natural lineage. See, because it takes both. It takes the spirit and the flesh to create a person. Yeah. Right? You remove one of them and the person's dead. Yeah. You remove the spirit, there's no life in the body, and the person dies. If you destroy the body, there's no body for the spirit. The person dies. You need both the spirit and the body to be a person. We need to be whole. We need to be one person that our entire life kind of lines up with God's word. And so Jesus, it talks about his natural lineage, which was good overall. And we talk about his spiritual lineage, which is from the Father, right? And so after this identity is put out there, this is him. He's qualified to be the Messiah because he's a descendant of David. And he's qualified to be the Messiah because the Father is well pleased in him. Now he's set up. Now he's set up for success. Again, parents, it's important that you make your family name have honor. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your lineage is. I don't care what your parents did. I don't care what you did before today. Today, decide my family name is going to have honor. And I'm going to pass down something greater to my kids than I had. You may have had a great family name. Make it better. Watch your reputation. Watch how you act. Watch how you behave around people. Watch your debt. Watch what you do with your life. You need to be able to tell your kids, hey, you carry our name, and that's important. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. You're inheriting greatness. Walk in that greatness. And I'm not saying to lie about it. Make a great name for your family and pass it on to your kids. Amen? You know, you may not have a lot of money to pass down, but you can pass down honor. You can pass down favor. You can also pass down demons. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a child. One child, right? And when the parents pass and they bury him up and they put him in the grave, who gets the car? Yeah, the child, right? And if you have money in the bank, who gets the money? This is not a trick question. None of these are trick questions, all right? You don't have to be fearful of this, all right? There's stocks and there's a business. Who gets all that? The child. Who gets the demons? Yeah, so we want to take care of those things now. We're leaving a legacy. So Jesus found out his identity in the midst of that baptism. Came up out of the water, says, "You are my son in whom I'm well pleased." There was an identity that he has. There's an identity that you have. There's an identity that you have in God, and you need to find out what that is. Let me help you a little bit, if I can. You're a child of God. You're created in your Father's image. You're created to do miracles. You're created to live supernatural. You were created to overcome every barrier that the world would throw at you. You were created to be successful. You were created to be happy. You were created to be prosperous and joyful and empowered and wise and a person who makes good decisions. You were created to leave a legacy on the earth. You were created to be a mouthpiece of God. You were created to bring the kingdom to the world. You were created with a purpose. How you fit within all that is your specific identity. Because we all have the same general identity. We're all children of God. Even the Bible tells us, that even those who have not come into salvation yet are still children of God. Scriptures tell us that. They're bad kids. They're cast off. They're prodigals. They need to receive their true identity. Amen? Yeah. Amen. They're not going to, you know, they're not saved yet. But we can change that. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Did you know that your call is to populate heaven? Yeah. That's amazing. Can you imagine you get to heaven and people are there because of you? That's going to be, I'm looking forward to that. How about you? Can you imagine all the thank yous that are waiting for you in heaven? That's going to be pretty neat. Right? That's part of God's identity for you. And what happens is, in the midst of the church, we sometimes forget. Life comes at us and life gets hard. And we sometimes forget that God has a plan for our life. Has that ever happened to you? You ever forget that we're bigger than the struggle we're going through? You ever forget that, you know, this thing that's happening does not identify you? Does it? Or do you, I mean, we forget sometimes. We forget sometimes, like, man, this struggle has been going on for so long. I forget what it's like not to live in it. Does that ever happen?
Yeah.
Remember when you got saved? And if, for those of you who don't, well, opportunity right at the end of service, right here. And Natalia laughs, but I'm being serious. Remember when you got saved, how it seemed like nothing was impossible?
Yeah.
How you would always walk with God? Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed since that moment except for how you look at it.
Yeah.
Right? Right? We forget sometimes. We forget that we have a destiny. We forget that we're overcomers. We forget that we have a Father who has access to everything. We forget that we're heirs of salvation. We just forget sometimes. We forget. And so we go off and start creating our own identity. What's funny about that, though, is the identity that we create for ourselves is not supernatural.
Yeah, wow.
There's nothing supernatural about it. Why? Because we can create it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take God at all. And I want to live a life bigger than me. I want to live for a purpose bigger than something I can create. I want to be a part of something bigger than me. I want to be a part of something that will last after I die and started before I was born. I want to be a part of something that's big and changes the world. I want to be a part of something that's good. I want to be a part of something that's holy. I want to be a part of something that's separate from what the world is. I don't want what the world can create. I'm not impressed. When you're young and like the new band comes out or the new outfit comes out, you think, this is the ultimate of cool right here. Nothing greater is ever going to... And then one day you're just going to be listening to the oldies station.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing ever is only going to show up on the oldies station.
Yeah.
Because those things pass away. Hear me. Those things pass away. But God said his word will never pass away. It's eternal. When you build your life on God's principles, then your life becomes supernatural. It can endure the storm. Are you with me here? I'm just trying to set up this message series. It's just going to get gooder and gooder. I just want to just encourage you here this morning that you're living for a purpose, and God has a purpose. But, you know, everybody kind of forgets about their purpose at times. So what do you do? You got to stir it up a little bit. Paul had that spiritual son, Timothy, and he told him, listen, stir up the gift in you.
Yeah.
You know what that means? If you've forgotten it, it's nobody's fault but yours. I didn't mean to be that, you know, so blunt, but we need to take care of that thing. You know, we have a handful of pregnant ladies in this church, and they're very much taking care of the baby inside of them. They're very aware of a legacy that they're carrying on the inside of them. They're very aware that what they do right now affects for years and years and years to come, right? If you know a mother and she's pregnant and she's using drugs, you don't just say that they're stupid. They say they're a bad parent. Why? Because what they're doing is affecting their child.
Yeah.
You with me? Every one of us is carrying a promise, though. Every one of us is carrying a child. We're all carrying a promise. And we need to live our lives cognizant of the fact that we're carrying a promise. And we need to live our lives like, am I setting myself up so that this promise can come to pass? Am I taking care of the call on my life? Yesterday at the office, many of the ladies of the house got together and had a shower for the Wises. Robin is getting pregnant. Now, right now, did I say something wrong? She's getting pregnant. She's getting pregnant. She's just planning it now and just buying stuff. She's pregnant, getting ready to have a baby. What's funny is you can't really get ready to have a baby. You're having a baby. Ready or not, here I come. You know, it's like, I see you. They're getting ready to have a baby. And they don't, you know, Brandon showed me a picture of the room they're making for the baby. They're not making a room. They're setting up a room they already have for the baby. And there's a crib in there, right? Where's he at? He's in here somewhere. There's a crib in it now and like a table of some sort. That have you ever seen how expensive changing tables are, like the dresser ones? Like you can get like a Chinese dresser that costs like $40 and you call it a baby changing, and then it's like $240. Like, how did this make it more expensive? But they have one set up in the room there, and they have a crib. And do you have sheets in the crib yet? Of course they have sheets in the crib. There's no baby though, but of course. Of course. What? They're preparing a place for the promise to come. They're preparing a place for it. I wonder if the calling came in your life right now, would there be room? Would there be room for the call right now? I mean, what would have to happen? When the call comes, I mean, what if Brandon and Robin were using the second bedroom as like a studio or their hobby room, or, you know, can you imagine, like, she does all her little crafting in the second room, and then the baby shows up, then she's got to look at the craft and say, where am I going to put the baby? Maybe the baby goes, maybe we'll get rid of the dining room table and we'll put the baby in the dining room. Maybe the baby can live in the living room on the couch, whatever. And I wonder if the call and the promise visited your house, where would it stay? Wow. Where would it stay? What you want to identify some idols in your life? Have a baby. And the idols, you know, are the things you hold on to, even though you have a baby. You have a baby, and the baby's supposed to be the most important thing happening in your life. It, you know, I mean, that only lasts for about 5, 6, 7 years, you know. But the baby has to be the most important thing happening in your life. And if you don't live your life like the baby's most important, we call you a bad parent, right? Why? Because we expect you to take care of the baby. You don't get an award for that. You get a little craft on Father's Day and Mother's Day, but because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what parents are supposed to do. So if you see somebody walking in their call and they say, well, oh, he had to go through so much for that. Oh, he's so amazing. No, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to do. Oh, God wants me to go to Africa, but I wanted to go to art school. Well, what do you want to say? Don't serve God? Well, I guess you can live in the little world that you built. If you think that's better. But, you know, we have a little thing around this house. You know, I'm surprised how many people in this church feel called to orphans. There's a bunch of them. And there's many visions of orphanages and whatnot. We have a similar thing in the spirit. When someone gets a prophetic word, people will snatch your call. Like, oh, just abandon that. I'll take it. That's all right. Oh, I'll take that. I'll take, oh, what's your, oh, there's an anointing on that? I'll take that. I'll just go ahead and do that. You don't want to do that. That didn't even sound fun for you, does it? No, I'll just be the apostle to Africa. You don't have to worry about that. No, I'll win, Boynton. You don't have to worry about that. I will take that for you. Because we're all about taking up orphan calls in this house. Yeah. We're all about taking up bored angels in this house. No, you're not even using this guy. I'll talk to him. They ain't using you here. Come on. You know you're bored. Come on. Come on. Come on. And they'll come. I've seen it. I've seen some of you. Okay, this is going a little farther than I meant to go, but I've seen some of you, I feel the anointing. Okay, just tune out if you're not into the real spiritual stuff. I've seen some of you walk with angels that I collected from somewhere else. I was like, bring them here. There's somebody who can use you. Come on. You can ignore that if that doesn't make sense to you. But God is looking for people who are willing to walk in their call. Like, I need to make room for the baby that I'm carrying on the inside of me. I'm making room for it. Does this make sense? I hope that's encouraging some of you right now. We need to make room for it. God says, lay that down. You're like, whoa, God, he's in the rules. No, he says, you need more room for the call. I guarantee you, whatever Brandon and Robin had in that room, they could care less about it now. They're excited that a baby's moving into that room. You hear what I'm saying? And if you're single and you start hearing that God's going to bring you a spouse, guess what? After you get married, you only get half the bed. And most people, And most people, you know what? Don't care. They would happily give up half the bed. Right? I'm making room for the call. Some of you are going to get a bigger bed today. Say, Jesus, I'm making room for the call. Right? You don't mind giving up half the bed. You're like, Jesus, fill the bed. It's okay. Right? You got to make room. You got to make room. You don't like come home from the honeymoon and be like, I normally sleep like this. Maybe you could sleep on the couch. No. No. Because you're making room for it, right? You're making room for the call. You're making room for it in your house. And so when God is telling you to do something and you're like, oh, he's not letting me. No. You need to check your heart. God is like, you need more room for the call. Sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen, why am I telling you this? Well, Paul told Timothy, you got to stir up the gift in you. Because when you don't stir it up, you start forgetting why you're doing stuff. You're not making room for the call. You're being religious. I'm going into all kinds of stuff I didn't even talk about here. But let me tell you the easiest way to stir up the gift. Let me tell you the easiest way. You need to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. You need to pray in tongues. Don't be obnoxious. But pray in tongues. I don't care. I'll walk through Walmart. It does make not no kind of difference to me. You ever been to Walmart? Who cares? Let's just... I don't understand what half the people in there are saying. I'm like, is that guy praying in tongues? Nope, he's psychotic. Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. You ever talk to a psychotic person in tongues? I will. It doesn't make a difference to me. They'll come up saying stuff. I'm like, he's talking to a demon right now. I think, kure basa la bokobo. I'm jumping the rails right now, aren't I, honey? Okay, let me bring it back. Just pray in the Holy Ghost, because then your will gets out of the way. Your will gets out of the way. You're like, there's no way I want to give this stuff up. I hear God saying it. I'm just going to pray in tongues. Let my spirit man pray. And if it's God's will, he'll make it happen in my heart. Are you with me? You bypass all your issues by praying in the Holy Ghost. This is why we need to do it a lot. It's not just when you're scared or you might get in a car wreck, right? It's like you need to do it all the time. Are you with me? Amen, sweet Jesus. I'm going too long. Hallelujah. Bless you. Here's my point, all right? We're getting into this now, all right? We talked about this last week in Romans 8:19. Woo, hallelujah. It's, wow. Everybody, just set your mind on Jesus for a second. I feel his will is very near right now. It says in Romans 8, it says, you know, we talked about this. The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The revealing of the sons of God. Waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. That does not mean start praying, God, reveal me. It's not what that means. That's not what it means at all. Read Romans 8. That's not what it means. The creation is waiting for the sons to stand up and declare that they're sons. Let's go back to our scripture in Luke chapter 4. You don't have to go there. I'll just read. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, you got to believe, if that's where he grew up, that's the synagogue he always went to. Hear me. That synagogue was filled with who? His kinfolk, right? His people. Mi gente. You know what I'm talking about. His people. His friends, the people he grew up with. Who did he first declare his identity to? His family, his friends, and where he grew up. Jesus wants you first to manifest who you are right there. If your family doesn't know that you're saved, if you've got close friends, and you've never talked to them about Jesus, and you're praying about going to be a missionary somewhere, you got a mission field right there around you waiting for you. Eagerly wait. Why do you think God brought them into your life in the first place? What? Oh, we're such good friends, and I don't want to mess it up by bringing God into the relationship. If God's going to mess it up by being in it, that's something to consider, yeah? Now, I'm not saying be obnoxious. I'm not saying, you know, the condition for us to be friends is that we both pray in tongues for an hour. That's not what I'm talking about. right? And we have to learn how to be Christians and not be obnoxious. Yeah. Be evangelistic without being obnoxious, yeah. Right? There's a way to do it, yeah. Right? And it's called be nice, yeah. Right? But if people don't know, or you're, if, let me give you another one. If you're scared to tell them, because you know the fear is not coming from God. And why is the devil giving you an impartation not to share the gospel? Let that float out there. Check this out. Can we just look at this real quick? He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue, right? Got the book, and he read it. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me, releasing captives, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord, right? And verse 20, let's read verse 20 together, shall we? And I didn't tell them this, so you're just going to have to read out of your Bible. Verse 20, let's look at this. And he closed the book, gave it back to the dude, sat down, and eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Why? Because he's Jesus that we hung out with. Here's old Jesus, and you know, read the book, right? And his friends are like, huh? What's happening? They're looking at him like, what's going on here? You know what he said to him? Let's look at it. And as he began to say to them, they're all looking at him like, what just happened? He's like, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, everybody knew that this scripture was about the Messiah and that he was coming. And he just reads this and they're like, what? This is now fulfilled. I would say that's bold. The whole thing about that is if that's not him, they get to murder him. And it was him, and they did murder him anyways, right? There's the kind of proof. He knew that's where that road was leading. The moment he said that, he knew where that road was leading. He knew that. He knew at that moment that would lead to the cross. Before he said anything, no cross. No destiny. No murder, no calling. No identity, no persecution. Create your own. But he spoke it. Spirit took him out into the desert. Went on. You're with me here, right? But creation is longing for you to walk in what God has called you to do. You hear me? There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one. There's only one. You hear me? There's only one. And that's you telling people. That's it. There's no other name by which man can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us, you know, if you don't go tell them, how are they going to hear? I mean, it says in Romans 10, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? So they have to believe. How will they believe in him who they've not heard? Now they got to hear something. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Do you hate your body? The Bible says you start getting beautiful when you tell people about Jesus. You start getting beautiful. Now for me, I don't have to worry about that so much. But because I've been preaching Jesus for a long time. Now you know when people get saved, they start looking better, right? We talk about that. You just look better after you get saved, right? You think you look cute, and then you get cute, right? Here's the deal. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Mikey, why don't you come? I feel like I got to bring it in for a landing here. Luke chapter 4, Jesus decided that day, I'm coming out. I wanted to name this series Coming Out, but then the Supreme Court messed that up. We decided to call it The Revealing. The last thing I needed was a bunch of banners in here celebrating my new series. Surprise! But the world is waiting for you to come out. Are you hearing me? The world is waiting for you to come out as a son of God. As a daughter of God, the world is waiting for you to come out. Come out of hiding, come out of the shadows, Come out of your fear. I firmly believe that each of my children have a destiny. I believe that God has created a wife for my son. I believe he's created a husband for my daughter. And I believe they have to walk in their identity to receive those things. But what happens if they don't? It affects far more. If you don't walk in your identity, it affects lots of folks. South Florida's had another prominent minister that lost his call because he decided to have an affair. It's a shame. You think your sin just affects you. It affects an entire congregation because that's what community looks like. Community looks like your decisions affect the people around you. And we just need some people who would be a little more selfless than they are selfish. And look at the bigger picture that God has for the earth. And when the Lord says to you, hey, I need you to go over to that family, I need you to pay for their dinner. They says to you, hey, I need you today, I need you to go to Walmart, I need you to park next to the handicapped spot and wait till the car shows up and pray for the person. Someone who's like, I don't live for me. And the Lord says, hey, you know that person you can't stand? Yeah. I need you to go to tell them how amazing they are. I need you to tell them the greatness that's on the inside of them. What are you going to do? You worrying about your identity or theirs? That cool buddy you got that you refuse to talk about Jesus? God's like, yeah, I really appreciate you creating that friendship. Now it's time to lead him to the cross. What are you going to do? What's higher than that for you? What's your highest value? What's the highest value in your life? Mine's the kingdom. Mine's the kingdom. Amen? Nothing's above the kingdom. Nothing is above the kingdom. Whether you live that way or not, nothing is above the kingdom.